Each year, our worship team comes together to plan for the summer services. We try each year to have a theme or an idea that we want to think about and explore more. And this year's summer theme is hope. Over the next few weeks, we'll hear from members of our congregation about where they find hope, what brings them hope, what they hope for. Hope is an interesting concept. We use the word probably many times in many ways every day. We might say something like, I hope you have a good day, to a loved one as they leave in the morning. Or I hope you get home safely, when a friend leaves our home after sharing a meal together. We might talk about our hopes and dreams for our youth, our children, for this congregation, for our world. We might wrap our hopes in the language and spirit of prayer and send them off into the world. Formulating and articulating what we hope for, what we dream of, is important. In our world today, there is so much pain, so much turmoil, suffering, and loss. Hope sometimes seems really hard to come by. This past week at our Ministry Days conference, the Reverend Nathan Dettering said that our communities live on the threshold of remembering and hope. It is important for us to remember all that happens in our lives and still to be able to dream, to hope for a better tomorrow. But is it enough to whisper those hopes into the night sky and wait for them to manifest themselves? Joanna Macy is an environmental activist, author, a scholar of Buddhism, general systems theory, and deep ecology. In her 90s, she's been an activist for more than six decades. And Chris Johnstone, who is a medical doctor, coach, and activist since his teenage years, offer us another approach to hope. Much of what I will share with you this morning is from their co-authored book titled Active Hope. And if anything sparks your interest, I invite you to explore it in that book. They go much deeper than I can possibly hope to in the time we have left together. The first hope that they speak of is the things that you are fairly certain will happen. It's the things that you hope for that seem possible. The problem with this kind of hope, though, is what happens when the outcomes aren't certain, or when they feel really out of reach, when there is little chance that the thing that you hope for will come to fruition. This can leave us feeling like there is no point in trying. I hear this often around elections, when people feel their voices don't matter, that their vote doesn't count. And it's one of the reasons that I think efforts like UU the Vote are so important. It gives us and others hope. The second form of hope that Macy and Johnstone identify is a hope that is rooted in what we most desire. I invite you to think just for a moment of a situation that you are holding. You can close your eyes if you want to. Maybe it's climate crisis. Maybe it is that November election. Maybe it's something more local, specific to Loudoun County, or even to UUCL. Or maybe it's something that is really personal and dear to you. Now envision what you would like to have happen in that situation. What is it that you hope for? This, Macy and Johnstone say, is the kind of hope that starts a journey. And it is what we do with that hope that really makes a difference. Passive hope, they say, is about waiting for external agencies to bring about what we desire. Active hope is about becoming active participants in the process of moving towards our hopes and where we can realize them. They go on to say that active hope is a practice. Like Tai Chi or gardening, it's something that we do rather than have. It is a process we can apply to any situation, and it involves three key important steps. The first step they outline is to start from where we are by taking a clear view of reality, acknowledging what we see and how we feel. Next, we identify what we hope for in terms of the direction we'd like things to move in or the values we'd like to see expressed. And third, we take steps to move ourselves and our situation in that direction. They continue saying that since active hope doesn't require our optimism, we can apply it even in areas where we feel hopeless. The guiding impetus is intention. We choose what we aim to bring about, act for, or express. Rather than weighing our chances, they say, and proceeding only when we feel hopeful, we focus our intention and let it be our guide. Our hope comes through our actions. With active hope, they go on to say, we don't wait until we're sure of success. We don't limit our choices and outcomes to what seems likely. Instead, we focus on what we truly, deeply long for, and we proceed to take determined steps in that direction. When we engage with active hope, they say, we consciously choose to draw out our best responses so that we might surprise even ourselves by what we bring forth. This is no easy task. And Macy and Johnstone write that we can train ourselves to do this work and to become more courageous, inspired, and connected through what they call the spiral of the work that reconnects. The first part of this reconnection journey begins with gratitude. It is rooted in gratitude. A gratitude that builds trust and generosity and can be an antidote to consumerism. Think back over the last 24 hours or so and search for something that makes you think, I'm glad that happened. Close your eyes if you wish again. And imagine that you are experiencing that moment again. Notice the colors. the tastes, the sounds, the smells, and the sensations in your body. Notice how you feel in yourself. Who or what happened to help this moment? If another being was involved, consider how thanks could be offered. The three elements we just practiced, appreciation, attribution, and giving thanks, are the elements that Macy and Johnstone identify as being important when practicing gratitude. The next movement in the spiral of the work that reconnects is honoring our pain for the world. It is normal and healthy to feel pain for the world we live in. The Vietnamese Zen master Thich Nhat Hanh was once asked what we need to do to save the world. And he replied, "What we most need to do is to hear within us the sound of the earth crying." Hearing the earth crying speaks directly to that interconnected web of all life. And Macy and Johnstone suggest that one way we can explore our emotional reaction to the world is to simply ask how we are feeling. Consider these questions. When I see what's happening in the natural world, what breaks my heart? When I see what's happening in human society, what breaks my heart? The feelings I carry around with me about this are, and some ways I can use these feelings are. The third movement in the spiral of the work that reconnects is seeing with new eyes. Here, Macy and Johnstone say that it is in this third stage that we step further into the perpetual shift that recognizes our pain for the world arises from our deep love of life. Seeing with new eyes, they continue, reveals a wider web of resources available to us through our rootedness within a deeper, wider ecological self. It opens us to a new view of what is possible and a new grasp of our power to act. And I will say that this is, if you pick up the book, the way that they talk about power is really incredible, and how to use power and how the power and agency that we own is really beautiful. And I don't have time to explore it all with you. I wish I did. The final station of the spiral is going forth. This, Macy and Johnstone suggest, involves clarifying our vision of how we can act for healing our world and identifying practical steps that move our vision forward. Macy and Johnstone's vision of this spiral means that it continues again and again. The spiral, they say, offers a transformational journey that deepens our capacity to act for the sake of life on earth. They call it a spiral instead of a cycle, Because every time we move through the four stations or movements, we experience them differently and more fully. Each station reconnects us with our world and can surprise us with hidden gems. As each naturally unfolds into the next, fresh insight and revelations create a flow and build up momentum. We are letting our world act on us and through us. One way that they suggest engaging in this process of active hope is to begin with a series of questions. So I ask you now to think back on that situation that you envisioned at the beginning of our time together. And hold that as we use these sentences to frame the journey around the spiral. Begin by completing this sentence. I love. Name for yourself what it is. I'd like to thank. Offer gratitude. Looking into the future we're headed into, my concerns include. Facing these concerns, what inspires me is. Looking into the future we're headed into, what I deeply hope for is. A part I'd like to play in support of this is. And finally, a step I'll take forward this week is. This seems so simple, and it is only a place to start. Macy and Johnstone remind us that this process is like a fractal, that it has the same characteristic shape at whatever size it is viewed. The spiral process can be done in a few minutes, over the course of days, weeks, months. You can engage with this on your own, with a partner, a small group, maybe even a congregation. The more familiar you become with this strengthening journey, they say, the more you will trust it. Each of these stations contains hidden depths, rich meanings, and treasures to explore. As we engage with this spiral, this work that reconnects, may we work for a future for ourselves, each other, our world, and the planet that lives into all we've dreamed of and all we have ever hoped for.